Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and this is a Zoom call. We are out in Portland, Oregon today. I have Peter Holmstrom of the Dandy Warhols, and man, I'm awfully excited about having this opportunity to chat with you today. He is the guitarist and keyboardist for a band I have been listening to for many years. Peter, what's going on, brother?
Not much. Just, I don't know, chipping away at multiple different recordings. Trying to get all the nonsense that goes with putting a record out, getting on by ourselves, not a proper record, just a collection of cover songs should be coming out in March.
But pinups, right?
Yeah, pinups. And just everything else that involves life.
I got you. Like I was telling you before we got going, man, we're preparing for an ice storm down here. So, I mean, it's people get off work at 5 o'clock and they're rushing to where they can get milk, bread, propane, whatever they think they're going to need.
Yep. More toilet paper.
I don't know how it is out there. I've got a family that lives out in Eugene. And when they came down to visit, I guess all the power lines for the most part are buried underground up that way.
No,
it's kind of a mix.
Maybe some parts they're buried, but not definitely not in Portland. In an ice storm, trees will fall on them and take out whole neighborhoods.
Yeah, that's the issue, because like when someone from the Midwest or up north is like sees the South freaking out about, oh, it's a little cold weather, you'll be fine. It's like we're not equipped for it like what y'all got.
Yeah. Absolutely not prepared. Yeah.
But enough talk about the weather. man, Peter, just guitarist to guitarist, man. Like I just wanted to talk to you about your tone and like influence, man, like early days, man. What made you want to pick up an instrument, and was it a guitar first?
You know, I guess it kind of was a guitar first. When I was very young, my dad asked our neighbor, who was actually a pretty cool luthier, to pick out a guitar for him to learn on, just a $100, classical guitar.
Sure.
Which wasn't nothing back then, but certainly wasn't, anything special. And then my dad learned a couple things, like a little bit of a classical song and a scale, and that's what he taught me. So I kind of always had that in my, I don't know, that's kind of the basis for everything I know. But I didn't take guitar seriously until after college. I kind of dabbled in it, had a high school band, but didn't really think about playing music as something that besides just being fun.
Right on, man. And so like You mentioned like high school band and beginning to take it serious after college. Would that be around the time that you would like meet Z and some of the other members of the Dandies, or like when would that, how would that take place?
Yeah, I met Courtney while I was in high school, and he knew that I played guitar, and he was kind of sort of managing this band of that was like it was his guitar player's little brother who was the singer of this band. They needed a guitar player, so he just put me together with them. But when I started taking it seriously, that was the Dandies. I had recently, like, I don't know, you know, the Nirvana came out and made it seem possible again to be in a band. So, yeah, I was kind of kicking around the idea of starting a band with some friends when I was living in New York. That didn't ultimately pan out, but I had a guitar when I moved back to Portland, and that's when Courtney and I started the Dandies.
That's and, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and that's like, I really, like, I learned on the job, essentially. Courtney was a drummer and his previous bands, so guitar and singing was new for him too. And that's kind of what made it. I mean, he'd been in bands forever, so he knew the whole kind of ins and outs of, and otherwise he would have been far too advanced, you know, to play with anybody like me or Zia or, you know, our drummer at that time, Eric. But because it all sort of came together and we kept things simple, it actually turned into something rather quick.
And man, I gotta say, man, like just from the moment that a friend put me on the Dandy Warhols, and I mean, even up to today, like that simplicity, I think is best. But I mean, also it's very psychedelic, and it's just got like that sound that, like, right when I was old enough to start listening to my own music, you know, right when I got a car. I mean, that was what I was gonna be putting in the CD player.
Yeah.
Cool. But man, like you mentioned, like, you know, Kurt Cobain. Were you over in New York during the grunge scene, or
yeah, I
were
was,
you there for?
Well, I was in college there, I was there when Nevermind came out. You know, it's like I knew about Nirvana because they played in Portland quite often,
mm-hmm.
and you know, but I never saw them. I didn't know what was going to happen. I can't claim to be that cool. And to be honest, it's like the whole grunge thing, I got over it rather quick. I ultimately like softer, prettier music.
Sure.
Maybe. Yeah. But it's still whatever. It gave me the kick in the pants to start playing, or, you know, go out and get another guitar.
It was a guy, he was from Columbus, Mississippi, not far from where I'm sitting, and his name was Andrew Wood, and he would move out to Portland, and he was roommates with the front man for Mudhoney, and he would later be roommates with, like, Chris Cornell. Matter of fact, like, Say Hello to Heaven, that was written to Andrew after he passed away, and even, like, Pearl Jam with Eddie Vedder. Eddie wrote a song, you know, in Andrew's honor. And so, like, somehow, like, Columbus was the town that we went to when we all got old enough to drive. You'd go to a movie or go bowling, might even go see like a rock show or something.
Okay.
And, it was around the area, like with Blind Melon and all those guys when they were coming out.
Yeah.
And, but you know, the area always thought of Andrew as like, man, he was right there in the thick of it. You know,
yeah,
he was
really
right
was,
there when it was all going down. But yeah, dude, so when you and Courtney were getting together and Zia, previous drummer, and kind of forming the sound of it, like, is that really what Pinups is about? Is that getting back to these songs have been inspiring us forever? Or what is that at Pinups about?
It's definitely some of that. You know, there's always, you know, every once in a while, like, you know, most of these were were written, or sorry, were recorded either for compilations, and we were asked to do sometimes specific songs, or, you know, we got to choose the songs. No, actually, I think we chose all the songs. And then the rest of them were recorded as B-sides. And so they kind of fit into a style of what we thought our record was. So they kind of worked as B-sides for that particular record. There's, you know, so some of them were definitely influences from the past. Some of them were just cool songs we learned about along the way. When Brent joined the band, he got us listening to all sorts of acoustic stuff from the 70s. Because he used to like just sit around with a guitar and sing songs more than the rest of us did. And so the America cover is his, the Birds, you know, Ripple, the Grateful Dead. It's like, I wouldn't go near the Grateful Dead. Mm-hmm. when I was growing up, that was the opposite end of what I was into. But it's such a great song. And, you know, it's really fun doing it. And then, you know, Courtney and I kind of both grew up in the 80s. We're a little older than the other two. And, you know, songs by The Cure and The Cult were what we were listening to in high school. So, yeah. And then and so Clash, of course.
The Clash, yeah, it's one of my all-time favorites. So the first single off this Pinups is a Kiss Off Violet Femme cover. It seems like most of the people have gave it a chance has really been into it, but they were like, well, now we got to have Zia sing more now that we've heard that.
I know. You know, when we did that cover song, we were like talking about having like a little spin-off group. I think we were going to call it Battleground because Zia's from Battleground, Washington. But we were just going to be the backing band for like a kind of, I don't know, electro punk kind of thing for Zia to sing over. But it didn't happen. She's more interested in country music. So anyway,
there's a resurgence cool. with that. it's coming back around. So, just through the years and just through working with this, I mean, y'all been going at it for 15, 20 years now?
32, 33? 30, I don't know. Years. Yeah, it's crazy. Our birthday, our the anniversary of our first show, it's the 27th of January, so it's coming up.
Oh man, it's coming up, yeah, right out of a week away.
Yeah.
Dang, does it seem like that long?
Some days, yes. Other days, not at all. I mean, it's like time is such a weird thing. It's just I don't understand.
Yeah,
like yesterday for some of the shit, and then other things, it's like just feels like forever. It's like been doing it forever, so just can't imagine what I was doing before that.
Yeah, it's just how it is, how you've been living. Man, what about like just kind of reflecting back? Is there some things that you would have done a lot differently in those early days, or like are you pretty satisfied with the journey?
Yeah, there's definitely some stupid shit we did. But who knows, like, you know, you never know the results. Like, we did all right. You know, the fact that we're still a band now, it's like, yeah, we might have, I don't know, been a little more diplomatic with our relations with Capitol Records, and maybe we both would have been a little happier there. You know, we would have been happier. They would have been happier with us. I don't know. But who's to say? It's like, if we'd had a lot of success right in the beginning, maybe it would have destroyed the band.
You know, yeah.
We always kind of had the right amount of success to keep going.
And so, like Peter, like with today, of which I know pinups is like y'all are doing this project on your own, but as far as just as far as touring or whatever the Dandy Warhols are up to today, are y'all completely DIY and indie?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, we still have, we have our own, we have booking agents and, lawyers and managers and all that. I don't know how you'd function without that. Or I don't know how we would function without that. We're in a strange position where we're big enough that we require a certain amount of stuff just to function, just all the extra people and equipment and I don't know, time. But not quite big enough for it to be easy.
Just kind of right in that middle lane.
Just barely, yeah.
Would it be with Capitol or like when did y'all really start like kind of rising up to where like it was kind of more than the band to where like there were stage hands, there was more equipment involved and like, like these shows, like, I mean, and it got to the part to where like you're looking out in the crowd and it's just an ocean of faces,
Yeah.
When did it start happening?
Well, I think right before we signed to Capitol, or yeah, probably right beforehand, we started traveling, with a friend of ours that was doing sound for us. And then I think eventually we actually did we take lights next? I can't remember. Maybe then we had a tour manager, like somebody to take care of the business stuff. Because any band member that did that instantly started resenting the band members that weren't doing it, and that just created unnecessary friction. But it was pretty much we did when Come Down came out, we did 3 months straight touring in a van with one guitar tech and a tour manager that did sound for us. And at that point, after that, it just, it kind of we added lights and then monitors and then it got bigger.
Yeah,
It got bigger
absolutely.
quick. And we didn't have to think about not doing, or we didn't have to think about it for probably 10 years after that. It's just how we rolled, and we had tour buses and we freighted our gear around or rented whatever we needed. Yeah,
And I
it was
know.
fun.
And I know with Pinup's the current project of you have been like exploring a lot of different genres that you mentioned, like Grateful Dead and even like America, as far as like learning how to play. But I mean, just on a day where maybe you got some downtime and you're just picking around, man, where do you find yourself like playing? Are you picking up that acoustic or are you playing with different sounds on the electric? What I mean, what are you really into lately as far as sound?
It depends on what I'm trying to do. It's like I rarely find or make the time to just sit in for the guitar and play for no purpose. So if I'm writing or if I'm trying to write songs, I just pick up acoustics and strum and try and find interesting chord changes or some little melodic something that sparks, something. But if I'm recording, then I'm screwing around with electrics more, trying to find
Absolutely.
sounds and then, pedals, putting ridiculous pedal chains together to try and surprise myself.
Yeah, man, that's one thing I really appreciate about the psychedelic side of like especially like when it comes to the keys of guitar with the Dandies is man, it's like there's some cool stuff going on with the pedals, man. So I always really appreciated that.
Yeah, it's it goes back to like two little events. I saw My Bloody Valentine And that blew my mind. Well, first I heard them, then I saw them, and then a friend's band played on my roof in New York. And he had like, he was just the guitar player had like five pedals or something. I didn't know anything about what any of that was, but I instantly in my mind connected those pedals to what my Bloody Valentine did, and sort of got obsessed with trying to do something similar, but I guess my own version of that. And so, yeah, pedals were something from day one, from at least Dandy's.
Yeah, it's always, I always go back to like, it'd probably be like Billy Corgan with the Big Muff, like, you know, sure. when everybody figured out what he was up to on the board and how they were getting that Smashing Pumpkin sound. Like that was a thing that, especially right here in this circle, everybody was kind of, oh, this is how you get that sound, man. This is how you get that.
Yeah, it was, I didn't really know enough people that were trying to find the same thing as me. And I always found that, like, I got a Big Muff right away, but that was because of I just went blank. The Mudhoney record, you know, Superfuzz Big Muff, or mm-hmm. It's like I'd heard that, and I wasn't a big fan of them or anything, but I knew I needed a Big Muff because of that. And I had a Rat pedal because of some interview I read with about Steve Stevens from Billy Idol's band. I don't know. And then I just like swirly stuff, so phasers and flangers, and eventually delays, and then I don't know, everything else.
When would you hop over like to doing more on the keys?
I don't do much, or definitely don't do anything live anymore. There was a brief moment during the Monkey House tour where I was doing some keyboards live. It's something just that I do in the studio. I play some bass, so does Brent, so does Courtney. It's like we all kind of do a little bit of everything. So I don't know. I've always liked synthesizers. So I've had them around. And
would you say like all that extra, it would just be like layering, it would be just to add some more depth to the recordings? Yeah.
Are just interesting sounds. Like, it's just sound. I'm more interested in sound than I am a particular instrument. Guitar sure. just ended up being what I do most. But there were times in high school where I wanted to play bass, and my dad and I were going to build a bass, and that just never happened. Partially because a new kid showed up school like my junior year or something, and he played bass way better than I could, for sure. Then for a while I was gonna be a keyboard player, because I like the idea of having multiple things on both, you know.
Yeah, man. Well, dude, I wanted to talk a little bit about process, and since we're talking about pinups, I wanted to pick two songs out. I wanted to pick one of the Cure covers, which I know that you would have been into, and that would have been something that you and Courtney would have picked. And just like getting the band ready, it is a cover, so it's going to be, but it's going to have the Dandy Warhol flair on it. And then I wanted to pick a song that maybe you was least particular about that went on the record, and like, you know, just some of like, here we go, or like, what was your attitude towards it, and just like, how did the band approach it? Like, is it like you and Courtney first, or how do you approach the recording process for that?
You know what? There's a few different ways things get recorded. If Courtney starts it, it generally starts with an acoustic guitar and his vocal. If I start it, it starts with like a guitar, drum machine, a simple bass, maybe a keyboard part that just maps out the chord changes and gives an idea of tempo, and then people go off of that. In the case of Primary, Courtney picked that one because I couldn't pick one. I couldn't pick a favorite Cure song. So I was very happy that he just picked one and I made it easy. And that was cool because the first thing I did was learn the bass part and kind of started. That was the bass. That's, I think we had a simple drum machine and the bass part, and then Courtney added a few other things, and that was about it. It kept it pretty simple. I don't know if Brent or Zia played on that song.
You know, like when it came to the Cure, and it may have been corny, man, but every Friday I had a high school teacher. Every Friday when you walk into their classroom, he would always put on Friday I'm in Love. Uh-huh. And so, like, as corny as it was, like, if I was going to cover the Cure, that probably would have been a go-to.
Yeah, it's always weird when you pick covers because it's like, I prefer not to do my favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
It's your favorite song for a reason. And if you're going to do a cover of it, you want to make it your own. I mean, I don't like the doing a faithful cover of a song. I mean, it's like that's been done and I'm probably not going to get close to it. So try and do something different. But then again, I always like to find an element of the song that kind of stays relatively true to the original. Even if it's just the kind of, I don't know, the bass line. And the Cure song worked perfectly. I mean, I think the song's mostly bass. It might be two basses.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, just like to this cover, and dude, I totally agree with like what you're saying. It's, I remember when there was a cat online, it was Obadiah Parker, at least that was the stage name that he went by, and he did a Hey Ya cover by Outkast. And then all of a sudden, anybody that listened to it, of course, I mean, like we're going from, you know, Atlanta hip hop to a guy, acoustic guitar and kind of a sad voice. And immediately people started picking up. It's like, oh, hey, it's just an incredibly sad song. And this Obadiah guy, he really gets it. It's like, no, Andre and Big Boy, I mean, they got it too. It's just like, absolutely. it was that fun play of, dude, it's a happy beat, something you can dance to, but it's a very sad concept.
What was the Donnie Darko, where he took the Tears for Fears song, played it slow and strummy, and it's like the song was always what it was. You're just finally noticing how dark and sad and, you know, or whatever. And I love that aspect of it. There's like this guy M. Ward, he was a Portland artist for a while. Don't know if he's still here or not. He did a cover of Let's Dance by Bowie and did that, slowed it down, and like, oh, wow, it's amazing. And it's like kind of, I mean, I like pretty much everything Bowie does, but so that was like the super poppy stuff. So I never really paid attention to it. Mm-hmm. It's like the slowed down version, you hear the lyrics and it's like, God, guy's amazing. Fantastic songwriter.
All right, let's go to one of the songs off Pinups that you weren't exactly crazy about, whether it be the Grateful Dead or something different. You were like, oh, I don't know nothing about this. Like, what was one of those?
Probably would be the Grateful Dead one, because I've had a hard time with the Porno Papyrus cover of it too. That would be the one. It's that would have started with Courtney and Brent, and I've been trying to figure out what I played on it. I know it's more guitar, more acoustic, because we were going through that kind of a little phase where we were doing trying to sound super earthy and acoustic. But yeah, once you learn a song, you figure out how those chords go together and the melody over the top, and it just, I don't know, it you sometimes you if you realize how simple things are, and the other times you realize the magic of how simple or beauty of the simplicity of it. So yeah, that was definitely one of those where now I really appreciate that song.
Yeah, man, and it's I know out there, probably for all the Grateful Dead heads that are probably gonna be listening to this and hearing this, it's like, guys, I am not by any means crapping on your favorite band, but it's just, man, it's always been something that I've been aware of and I've been around. It was just never something that I would personally pick if I was driving in the car by myself.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's very hard to separate, the song from the artist. And it takes hearing a cover, to get it. Yeah.
Well, dude, I wanted to ask you a few more questions. I didn't want to take up too much of your time, Peter. I
Yeah,
really
fine.
appreciate you giving me some time here. I wanted to ask you a little bit about just your travels, whether it was while y'all were on tour or maybe just somewhere you got to go that it was like, well, hell, I'm just gonna hop on a plane, train, or automobile and just take off. Well, man, where is somewhere that you've been that you would really like to get back to, and where's somewhere you hadn't had a chance to go yet?
I really, really want to go to Japan. I have been there for one day on the way to somewhere else, and I've always ha kind of had an obsession, just with Japanese culture and going way back. I don't know, as a kid, like seeing Japanese monster movies and TV. Or I don't know. It's just always been a fascination. And at some point, I definitely will go there. But I was always hoping that to go with the band, but we've never made it. Still don't really understand that. Nobody's given me a logical explanation. Anyway, yeah. So Japan.
All right. And dude, like just with everything going on with the Dandies, of maybe not for the entire year, maybe just for like this first quarter up to April. We got pinups coming out. What else is the band gonna be up to? Where are y'all gonna be playing, or what's going on?
We are actually we're taking a kind of a year off from touring. We've got, I don't know, kind of wore ourselves out a little bit, for the pretty much since we started touring after the pandemic. Kind of didn't really stop. So yeah, taking a year off from that. I think I've God, I can't say, can I? It's not signed off on yet. There's something that will probably be happening in December.
Okay.
That's what I can say. We are working on another record, and if it all goes well, that will come out this year, at the end of the year, maybe. This Pinups is kind of a trial run for releasing stuff on our own, so far so good. Otherwise, we'll be looking for another label.
Very cool. Well, dude, Peter, I did want to ask about that while we're kind of on the subject. Is like y'all were talking about kind of all gas, no brakes, after COVID kind of lifted. During that time of COVID and like everything being completely dead, not being able to play, not being able to move around, like, did it just feel like your life had been ripped away from you, or like what was going through y'all's heads?
I rather enjoyed that time. I was so ready to just be in my studio and to be focusing on music only. I had been working at a vintage guitar shop, a bit, helping a friend out, and I was done with that. I was just about to quit when he, you know, when we shut down for COVID, you know, because of COVID. And then I just holed up in my studio for kind of like 2 years, did one of my own records, helped a friend make a record, helped two friends make a record, did a lot of stuff with the Dandies on Rockmaker. During that period, the Dandies released a short minute or 30 second to a minute long song every week.
Oh, and cool. So yeah.
It was super. We just released that on vinyl. It's a fast driving. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, we put like 54 or 56 songs on a piece of vinyl, which may or may not be a world record. We have to look into that at some point. But yeah, it's like, so it was an incredibly creative, very focused time for me. And I didn't pay attention to any of the news. I only surfaced every once a week to go grocery shopping for me and also for my parents. And I had a good time. And tried not to pay attention to my bank account because that was the only real issue.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then like immediately after it's opened up and you said you guys just hit the road and y'all just didn't stop.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't tour constantly, but it was like, you know, it was, there were always shows in the future, in the near future. And so it was, you're always like either winding down from a tour or preparing to go out again, you know? So it does get to you at a certain point. When you're young, you can handle it, but after a while, no.
I imagine it adds up, man. And like just to that level of touring and staying on the road, whether it may be playing a little bit between shows or getting anything else in, it's like, and I know like the tour is designed to tour a record or an album, but yeah. Like was there a lot of opportunities? It's like, I mean, I'm sure this is where some of the pinup thing and some of the cover ideas from previous shows kind of where it all kind of came to light is,
yeah,
oh, I mean, here's something yeah. that we could do.
Yeah, listening to stuff, and it's like, you know, like in the beginning, we used to sit around and listen to songs a lot. And Brent, like as I was saying, when he joined, he was always sitting around strumming a guitar. So it's like, I would join in just because I don't know, it's fun, something fun to do, and it's like something that it's not a, like Courtney and I only played guitars together to write new ones or for him to teach me what he was working on or other way around. It was always for a purpose, but with Brent, it's just like, this is fun. Let's like hanging out, strumming guitars. So yeah, there was a lot of that in the early days. It's less so these days because everybody just, you know, is on their phones. So dumb. God. But, you know, because of that technology, it's like I've recorded Love Song, the Damned cover that we did.
Uh-huh.
I pretty much did that on tour, like on, I don't think actually on the bus, but in hotel rooms and backstage stuff. I know I recorded Zia doing some percussion or something. I think we actually recorded it on a phone and then airdropped it to the computer and then put it into the session. You know, it's just some really dumb, but whatever. You know, these are the tools we have.
Make with it.
Yeah, cool.
Well, dude, you kind of mentioned social media just then, and like just with that is like downtime. Just as far as maybe another creative outlet or maybe something just completely outside of the arts, when you got free time, man, what do you enjoy doing?
It's a weird one. I mean, it's like my hobby turned into my job. So it's like, I really do music most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Downtime, if I can get away from the house, the studio, and I don't have an instrument, it's a little hard on me at first.
I get it. All right, man. And I'll
But
do
it's good for me.
I'll do one more question with you, Peter, and we'll walk it out of the door. Just for those listening, if they have never heard the Dandy Warhols, what album would you suggest them give a shot or song?
The album, it's the obvious one. It's 13 Tales. It's the biggest one for a reason. It was very focused on what we were trying to do, and I think we did it quite well. It has great songs on it. It has some of the trippy sort of spacier stuff on it, as well as some of the kind of poppier songs that we do. I mean, all our records have a good spectrum of stuff that what we try to do, but that's a really good version of it.
I totally agree. That's what I would have said.
I mean, it's the best introduction to the Dandies for sure. If you know, in a general sense, if somebody's like coming from a little bit more of electronic background, maybe Monkey House, a little shoegaze background, maybe Come Down. I don't know. We try
Wow.
and we're always like trying to do as many different stylistic things, whatever, to entertain ourselves. So it's like we've got a bit of everything.
Dude, you brought up shoegaze. I have to ask, was you a Spaceman 3 fan?
Of course, yes.
Hell yeah, dude.
For sure. Kind of came at them, through Spiritualized and Spectrum. Definitely heard of those bands first, and then went backwards to Spaceman 3. But no, we were very into that for sure.
Yeah, I can hear the influence. Brian Jonestown Massacre. I mean, like, just man, I love a good shoegaze, man. Well, Peter, man, last thing to walk it out the door. If there's anything else that we left on the table that we didn't pick up, but man, I really do appreciate you taking some time to sit with me today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peter, this is it's been great, man. Listen to the Dandy Warhols.
Right on. Thank you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.